If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city be saving.
What are we going to do with the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That bolt of lightning chose
the future.
Because you can inspire.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. Legends.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, remember you can take us mobile. You can find us on demand through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Just search DC on RMD. Once you find us, go ahead and leave us a review if you'd like. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, whatever. So, how you guys doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Did you guys see that Joker trailer?
I did.
I haven't watched it yet. I was at work all day.
It's very, very Killing Joke-esque.
It kind of is, yeah.
I don't hate it.
Chime in.
I'm just trying to get you excited for it.
I mean, I am excited for it. On its own, like kind of without any sort of clue into what it's like. It looks dark. It looks cool. I appreciate that it is kind of an Elseworlds thing in that it's self-contained and not worried about being canon with anything else. It just is a Joker story, and that is that.
Yeah.
And that's literally what it's set up to be, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm excited that it doesn't have to worry about playing into anything else or making sure it sticks exactly to any stories lest we upset all of the nerds. Because like on the one hand, while I have been excited for it since the beginning, it does still make me a little nervous that they're doing any sort of Joker origin story at all, because that is exactly why he's so scary. Not like the sole reason, but like that is the big thing that sets him apart from other villains, is that we have no idea
why,
what the reality of the motivations were. You can cite Alan Moore as the Killing Joke all you want, but that has technically never really been true canon. Up until New 52-ish and like Rebirth. It was like sort of vaguely canon before that. You know what I mean? Like, Barbara was in the wheelchair and things and stuff and whatever. But I don't know. It's always, and even with like New 52 and stuff, it's just kind of like they talk about it, but like they don't talk about the Joker origin stuff. They talk about Barbara and they talk about her spine injury and they talk about her being crippled and her run in with the Joker, but they don't talk about the other stuff.
I think once you watch the trailer, you'll see it's legitimately set up like the Killing Joke, and like you said, it that's not canon to our DC universe, so this kind of fits in, or it wasn't canon, you know, 95% of our lives.
Yeah, not blatantly.
Yeah, and so this has that feel to it, to where it's just one bad day drives this man insane.
Cool. Yeah, the cool thing about Killing Joke is that it's kind of been like a general consensus headcanon for a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, but still, the fact that it's not blatantly canon leaves that mystery of like, okay, well, what is the deal? Because even in the New 52, even in Scott Snyder's run of Batman, they talk a little bit about, you know, Joker's early days and like what drove him there. But honestly, there's so many points where he's just making up stories and lying to Batman. So you never really know what's real. He planted pictures of himself, 50 years prior, 100 years prior, stuff like that. He planted those in the Endgame storyline of that run. And it ended up being a hoax, but still, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things. It's so good to have that mystery there and to not know exactly who he was and exactly what he did. But when we're not talking about something that completely defines a character that's going to be reappearing in movie after movie after movie, and it's not like opposite Batman all the time and stuff like that, as a cool one-shot thing in its own world, I'm cool with them exploring. So yeah, I'm excited for it. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited too. And also Joaquin's Joker laugh. I like it.
I'm really excited to watch that.
I have a feeling he's going to do really, really well in this role. So
yeah. And the funny thing is it's going to be a success no matter what. Because it only costs $55 million to make.
Only.
Well, I mean, considering every other superhero.
$55 million.
Yeah. Well, it's not only $280 or whatever Endgame is going to end up being $500 million. I think they were joking at one time for both the movies. So.
Really quick. This is totally unrelated to anything DC. And I'm so sorry, but I'm also super not sorry. the Game of Thrones premiere is in New York tonight, or the New York premiere at least is happening. It is the premiere of season 8, so all the stars are there and whatever. And Nicole, I know you saw this because you liked it. The Game of Thrones Instagram posted a little adorable video of Maisie Williams and Sophie Turner.
That was so cute.
Arya and Sansa, for anyone that doesn't know. And they're just the most precious little humans, but they're also like grown up, full on like adult human people now. And it's precious. And that is all. I just needed to share it in a space.
So go to Game of Thrones Instagram, even though you will have all probably seen it by the time that this comes out.
And if
go
you
see it anyway,
if you haven't and you don't even watch Game of Thrones,
go watch it anyway.
Go watch that cute little video. They're very cute little ladies, and it's adorable. Anyway, so
yeah, Supergirl.
Supergirl. Hey, strong females.
Strong females. Both of them.
Good transition.
Yeah, man.
Hey.
All right. So on that,
save that one.
Strong females note. Let's take a quick break. And are we going to do a break?
We don't have to. I mean, we weren't talking that long, so we want to get right into it. Let's get into it.
You know what, guys? No break today.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it.
We'll break later.
Doing it live, except we're not live. Okay, so today, instead of a break, we're going to break down and discuss Supergirl Season 4, Episode 17, All About Eve. Eve is a real big bitch. Supergirl becomes public enemy number one as Lex's plan plays out, and I hate Eve. So this episode was directed by Ben Bray. The story was by Gabriel Yanas. The teleplay was by Katie Rose Rogers and Brooke Pohl.
And that is all you really need to know. Okay, we're done with the episode. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
But no, really.
God damn.
She's a bitch.
So Supergirl, I think we called it last week where we were like, yeah, I think we're going to see some Red Daughter stuff. Like, I think we're going to see her impersonate Supergirl real fast.
I am pretty sure we just entirely called it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Yeah, 100. That's all I was thinking. I'm like, we just had this conversation last week.
Yeah, as soon as she showed up, I was like, oh, well, we called that one.
Yeah, right. It's kind of vindicating, right? To be like, ooh, we called this. We talked about it. So Supergirl is now public enemy number one. Red Daughter attacked the White House. Oh my God. We definitely all saw this coming. However, I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't know how they were going to do it. That was bold. That was a bold move.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
I was kind of, it had to be like really big though for it to make the impact that it did.
And to potentially sway the opinion of everyone who's pro-alien.
Within 30 seconds, yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Also, real quick, guys, I'm sorry. If you can hear it, you might notice that the integrity of my voice right now has decreased significantly since the start of the episode. Angelica gave me strep throat. So.
Oh, jeez.
And you're here? Get the fuck away from me.
Oh, my God.
I need to go sit by Bob.
Well, to be fair, you know, generally you don't get strep unless you're like sharing something and like there's some sort of like saliva transfer or something. Not what? Transfer.
Well, then don't lick me.
Well, but like, I'm not going to cough on you. I'm not going to share any drinks with you. I'll let Mike know so he can like clean the pop filter here on this mic. But yeah.
All right.
But well, I shared, I finished an alcoholic beverage of Angelica's. And the next morning she got a call from her doctor's office saying, hey, by the way, you have strep B. So cool. Neat.
Right. So, thanks, Angelica.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, she feels very, very bad. She was like, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do? I wish I could mail you antibiotics. So, yay.
All right. Well.
So if my voice goes out before the end of this episode, I'm real sorry. But anywho. So I'm clearly baffled by this whole White House plan. That was way more aggressive than I thought it was going to be.
Did you ever think that the act wasn't going to get repealed?
Not after going into this episode, I was like, oh, it's definitely going to get repealed. The least that, you know, James and Katko and anyone in power can do is try to keep people educated on it so that it doesn't at least like quietly get repealed. At least there might be some pushback or something. I had no idea after, I forget her name, but that one like senator or whatever, when she was like, yeah, I'm not going to vote for it. When that happened, I was like, oh my God, maybe yeah. We don't have to worry about it. Maybe we kind of won.
But then she said, psych.
Yeah. And it feels very much, at first I thought maybe it was like an image inducer. But at the same time, also, it very well may have been like a threat.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't need to know which one it was. I'm sure either. We may or may not find. We may find out.
So who was the dark haired lady that they showed? Like, you
the
know
one that Eve was pretending to be.
Is that who that was? Was that Eve?
Which
in the actual Oval Office that like made the no, look the not. Lockwood?
Oh, yeah, that was Eve.
Okay.
That was Eve, 100%. The dark-haired young woman.
Yeah.
That is the same person that Eve was pretending to be in Katko. Okay, when Supergirl is in Katko with James and she's just like, Eve, that was Eve. And, yeah.
Okay, I missed. I must have blacked out. Sorry.
Okay.
I just wanted an explanation. Thank you.
But yeah, do you remember that when Kara went to go tell James that Eve shot him? Yeah, that was the same woman. So that was very much like, this is Eve here.
Bitch.
Yeah, man, I am not a fan of Eve. He had me fooled and I'm pissed about it. Their plan went really smoothly and I'm furious. Like there were no setbacks for them at all.
Of course, it's Lex.
I know, and I'm pissed.
Damn it, Lex.
It was, oh boy. Yeah, okay, so I don't want to, like, jump ahead.
You can go wherever you want. You're good.
Thanks. So one thing I want to talk about, though, is the Lexo suit and how Eve lured Kara away so that she would be distracted, and then they had the Lexo suit just, like, whoop, and, like, go onto her body and pin her to a wall and just trap her and weaken her with kryptonite.
And just long enough for Red Daughter to do the thing.
Boy, howdy.
Dude.
Like,
dude,
what a smart and like precise plan. Like, hey, we need to distract Supergirl.
She has to be in the area.
Yeah. They have, so they knew, you know what I mean? They were like, she's going to be looking for Lex. She's going to be looking for Eve specifically. She's going to find that one car that has like the X-ray like blocker or whatever and go, obviously it's that, and be lured to it. And then Eve knows she's looking for her. So she's got her little hologram inside. It was so smart. They were like three steps ahead of Kara
the whole time.
Yeah. So I got to say, I really, really appreciate how the situation with Alex, Lena, and Kara is progressing right now at this point. There's still some room for it to grow a little bit and get to a good place, but at least they are all working together. And that scene, that moment with the Harunel, when Supergirl reacts to it and Lena calls her out and specifically calls her out about like what it is that she's doing that's upsetting to Lena. You know, she says, you just see red every time you feel threatened and you can't see any of the good that is coming from this. Yeah, there are risks. Yeah, there are things that went awry. And yes, there's always the chance that someone horrible could get their hands on something. But that could happen with nukes. That could happen with guns. That could happen with poison. It could happen with anything. And I was real proud of Kara. I was real proud of Supergirl in that moment when she actually apologized, especially after hearing Alex say, listen, like, if it weren't for this, I don't know. I think Supergirl's pride would have gotten in her way if the James situation hadn't happened. If Alex hadn't had that ammo of like, listen, if she hadn't been working on this, James would have died.
Yeah. And it was a beautiful way to use that situation to have her learn. Because again, I think we all thought, oh great, she's going to be bitchy Supergirl again and just be against all the people that are really not doing anything bad per se.
Yeah.
Because of the Luther name.
Yeah, because Lena is trustworthy. I mean, regardless of the fact of everything that happened with Lex, she did her best, and she can't be blamed for wanting to not see her brother die, no matter how much of a skeezy piece of crap he is. It's still her brother. There's still family ties there, and everyone in that group should be able to understand not wanting to see them physically suffer. She was already working on it, and she had the opportunity to save him, and she believed that he belonged in prison. So he was going to go back there, you know, supposedly, hopefully, maybe. And she was also trying to not give him powers or anything, but she was betrayed heavily by Eve. If he hadn't already had that plan in place, if Eve hadn't been working for Lex, everything would have been fine. You know what I mean? Like that's the betrayal there is not Lena's fault, and she shouldn't be held accountable for it. And I think if anyone in that circle of friends and kind of that little like self-made nuclear family that they are,
yeah,
if anyone were to hold that against her, I think that would be unfair, because they've all done reckless and stupid things to save the people they love and then gone back and went, okay, yeah, maybe I could have done that better, but you know, I had to do something.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
Yeah. And I so appreciated this moment of honesty and vulnerability between the three of them, especially now that the relationships are so strained and different, even with Alex, since she doesn't know that Supergirl's her sister anymore. I'm very happy to see the Lena Supergirl relationship repaired.
For now.
I think
there's a real possibility they're repairing it, though, for Lex to just come in and be like, hey, by the way.
Alina's got secrets, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He might be using it, and then once Lena hears about it, it could very well also backfire on Lex.
Do you feel that now that we know that Lex knows who Supergirl is, and maybe even Lillian, do you think that that's going to be used to strain, if not break, that relationship between Lena and Kara, and Lena and Supergirl?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, that's the only thing that could potentially do it. Like, if Lex, that might be why the writers decided to try and repair this relationship, so that there can immediately be this new conflict to just break it right back down. But it could go either way, because depending on how they continue to interact, Lena could be like, oh, well, I kind of understand, especially after Kara was talking about, you know, feeling pressured to be strong all the time and blah, 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 blah. They had a moment there. So it could very well backfire on Lex too, if he uses it.
I'm not sure which way I think it would go. I'm leaning more towards the side of it backfiring on Lex.
I hope it does.
I hope so too. I don't think the show can survive more social trysts like that. I don't think that dividing up the main characters and creating rifts between them in their trust for each other and stuff like that, I don't think that is the way to continue forward with this show. I think the way to continue forward is to open things back up. By the end of this season, Alex needs to relearn that Kara is Supergirl. Lena needs to learn. And I know I've been harping on that for, you know, a couple seasons now.
Well, I think it's more now because we know she is good.
Yeah, we have full confirmation.
Right?
Now.
Like, it's not just me. I feel like she's good now. And there should be no Luther, you know, like running like through people's head like, oh, she's a Luther. And I think Kara and Alex have both learned that now to where, again, if Alex remembered that, she might be like, hey, it might be time to tell her.
Yeah. I think that Kara might get to a place where she tells her. And I think whether or not she does, even if it's Lex that tells her or Eve or Lillian or who the hell ever, I think they might be at a place now where they can kind of understand and realize that sometimes they hold secrets back, for fear of someone that they care about, maybe not seeing them the same way or to protect the people that they care about. She was trying to protect James by pushing him away. But instead, you know, that went all weird and ugly. She was trying to protect herself from her own fear of her friends maybe not understanding her working alongside Lex to try and complete all of her Harnell research, which is kind of warranted. But still, you know, it's still a secret. She still didn't tell them. There was still something there. And I think now they kind of have enough hidden from each other that it's not for malicious reasons. It's just either out of fear or out of, you know, concern for the other person's well-being that they should understand where the other's coming from. And I think there might be a moment of what? So you just decided not to tell us? You were keeping this from us? And then I think hopefully that would fade and they'd kind of get over it and realize that they're both kind of playing the same game here.
I feel like that could be fixed with one line. But like, oh, yeah, I'm Supergirl. Why didn't you tell me? Well, you were a Luther. You are a Luther. And it took a while. Understandable.
Especially since Lena is such a smart woman. She'd be like,
I'd buy that.
But at the same time, Kara's been acting, you know, the same way with her forever and knows, I don't know. I think it's easier to say, I think it would be less offensive to Lena to say, listen, you making kryptonite scared me and I had to be certain. You know what I mean? Like less than like the Luther thing. I think that might drive Lena away. Because then she'd go, but yeah, but you were one of my best friends and you trusted me as Kara, so why not as Supergirl, you know? I don't know. It's a tricky thing, but I think more than anything, there was this rift between Supergirl and Lena because of the kryptonite stuff. And that's, Lena actively like hated Supergirl for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was reason enough for Kara to not come out and tell her then. Not telling her before, well, she tried not to tell many people because she was trying to protect them. And that was a good excuse then. But, you know, after she started working with Lena and stuff, like more, her not knowing became a little bit more of like a, I don't know, a trust issue that I feel like shouldn't have been there. But then with the kryptonite stuff and with Lena just basically hating Supergirl, how are you going to tell one of your best friends that you are also the person that she hates? Right? Like, how do you not destroy that relationship entirely? I don't blame Kara for just kind of slinking back and not telling her and getting to at least keep her friend.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, it's weird, and it's one of those things. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm actually nervous about it.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be written properly.
And I want it to go smoothly.
And not last for 2.5 seasons or something.
Yeah, like I want it to come to this ending that's worthy of 4 years of story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And if they don't hit it, I'm going to be disappointed. Where it's just like, oh, that was it? Like, this build-up, this anticipation, something we've talked about for, like, every episode she's ever been on about when is she going to figure out how.
Yeah.
And then it turns to be, like, this, like, deflated balloon sound.
Yeah, they've got to do it right. I'm so, so relieved and glad to see that while Kara, while Supergirl is public enemy number one, she has built up the relationships of the people around her who don't know her secret identity enough to the point where the people that work directly with her, namely Haley, Alex, Lena, they're all backing her after this attack. I'm so glad to see the character progression that we have seen with Haley. Because at first she was such a stickler for the rules, and she was like aggressive about trying to find Kara's secret, Supergirl's secret identity and stuff like that. And now, you know, this happened, and she's seen a lot more of Supergirl's true colors, and she's also seen a lot more of how the government isn't as forthcoming to even her within the government in a high ranking position than she thought. And I think she started to feel isolated from the people that she placed her trust in that were above her. And now she's feeling kind of isolated, especially with like, yeah, so we're actually not looking for Lex Luthor. We're just going to be security detail in Washington. That's it. That's what the DEO is doing. And yet the FBI and the CIA, they're looking for Luthor.
The simplicity of her just saying, I know.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great.
It was effective. Alex just saying like, this is not Supergirl. Like, you know, maybe I didn't trust her at first, you know, immediately post memory wipe. Not entirely anyway, not enough to put all of my stock in her, but man, yeah. Just the confidence with which Haley said, I know.
Yeah.
And she knew that obviously something was wrong, something was up, and all of this alien amnesty repeal stuff is fishy at best. And the way the government is working is fishy at best. I'm glad to see the people immediately surrounding Supergirl that don't know her secret identity backing her, and they're in her corner and they're ready to help. They're ready to figure this out with her. I think that's very well deserved, especially after how many years Supergirl's been in National City now, and she's been helping the people, saving the freaking world. I think it's deserved. I hope more people in the public will be skeptical. It's hard to dispute video evidence, but, you know, weirder things have happened in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. So, man, yeah, there was a lot of focus on Lockwood during all of this. And I have to wonder what's going to happen with him with all of this. You know, it feels like he's losing his footing, and yet there's still a lot of focus on him. You know what I mean? Like that senator telling him, you know, your stuff might work on your Children of Liberty, they might buy into your propaganda and your words and maybe, you know, swayed by them. But that's not how we do things in Washington. Welcome to Washington.
Yeah. Welcome to Washington. Then the, you know, basically the people can police themselves now. And, you know, with the president's announcement. And so, you know, he's going to activate all his Children of Liberty and lead them somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how effective that will be, though. You know, I know.
But you can see it happening, right? I mean, it's the only reason, you know, martial law would be announced.
Yeah. And he did militarize them in a way. You know what I mean? He he's using them as like almost contracted security or something, you know? That's what the president kind of has in store for them. He's like, well, we can't officially do this, but we can sort of, what did he even say? It's sort of like an off the books sort of like situation with them. You know what I mean? Like you can do stuff and we're just not going to stop you, but I can't give you an official endorsement or like officially like militarize you in that sort of way. I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure martial law gives them that right now.
Oh, it so does.
Ew, so does.
All right. Let's take a quick break now. And then
for real this time?
For realsies. And then we'll get into some Eve, some Martian Manhunter, and all of that junk. We'll be right back.
Kira, look at you, dressed like an adult. That's promising.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
So the pilot, like, Pike's motivation.
Well,
what about Pike?
Because it was never aired.
It
until
was
the
never
80s.
Aired. But now that it is, it's answered a lot of questions that a lot of people said was interesting about the menagerie, like, or Cage in the menagerie, about like Pike, or and even Vina, the character that basically essentially is the love interest of Pike.
She's my love interest too.
Oh my god, dude! When I saw the old footage of like all the old Star Trek, I'm like going, man, she was hot back then.
And well, then she turns into a haggard hag and you're like, oh god, please
turn her back.
Illusion
Pike, get the illusion back. My god.
Star Trek from the Holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
He's apparently
the whole fabric of society, so long as they and their weird way of doing sex is legitimized. That's what they want.
Their weird way of having sex or doing sex. I mean, gay folk, they're not aliens. They're not from Trisomian 21. They're human beings. They have sex the same way we do. They don't mind meld in order to fuck.
Now then,
they don't place their fingertips together and they're orgasming. The way these, I mean, Thomas.
Jesus, he's in the studio.
Thomas, I mean, the way the gays sign those leases for the latest Kia excursion. I mean, it's just, it's madness. The way they do those leases and buy those homes. And
you mean with the signature the same way everyone else does?
Their credit ratings are just exuberantly high for people.
From a lack of divorce?
It's true. I mean, they live a better life. They have more disposable income than the rest of us. But good golly, they're going to ruin society. If anything, we can learn a little bit about economics and the life savings from the gay community.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
Free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
We are back. Let's talk about Eve.
Sounds like it's your favorite character.
I'm so mad at her.
Oh, both your favorite characters.
Oh, yeah, totally. My best friend. Yeah. We're going to go get manicures next week.
Is
she becoming one of those ones that we would see at like a convention and be like, oh, God, I fucking hate you.
Yeah, totally. Probably. I'd be like, you bitch.
Like, there's always
you shut, Jimmy.
Yeah, those people we run into that you're just like, I have to separate that your character is not who you are in real life.
First of all, how dare you? And then she'd just be like, what?
Second James. Of all, can we get a selfie?
Oh, man. So she is the main villain this week. I'm very pissed off about Eve, but it was great writing because no one saw it coming. The only time anyone had even the slightest inkling of a thought that Eve could be behind something bad was the episode that she shot James. That is it.
Pretty much.
Like there
also
was
because she's not that prominent. Up until this point.
Yeah, I mean, she's had her moments here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's kind of come in and out, and she's been, like, relatively important here and there, but she's progressed her way, and she's been working with Lena, and she's Eve, and she's happy, and she's always, you know, just go, 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 let's do stuff, and just wow. And seeing how well she's just, like, settled into this new role for her character, how easily she's kind of blurred these lines between like, hi, I'm Eve, this is my character, and I'm peppy and sweet and everything's good, into
shoot you in the face,
yeah, into like, I'm upbeat and I talk like this and everything like that, but also don't you screw up or I will shoot you. Like, that's the watching her settle into and immediately without any like rough patch just find that in that character. Oh my God. It just doesn't feel unnatural. So sometimes with characters like this where they're just like, hi, blah blah blah, I'm peppy, it's kind of awkward or hard to transition into like still being that character but being evil and not being like cheesy about it. I don't feel like she has had an awkward transition at all.
No.
I feel like she has beautifully just stayed the same character, but added this new facet and
a little
just
bit of crazy.
Brought it into the fold, and that's it. And it just, it still absolutely feels like Eve, and it, I don't know. She has done a great job.
Yeah.
Like
I said, just a little bit of crazy, a little bit of obsession.
Yeah. So she brought the cure when she was, when she left Lena and stuff, she brought the cure to an aunt of hers, right? To cure her cause she was bedridden and sick. And, so, I mean, there is the question of, you know, just how bad is Eve? You know, is she just obsessed with Lex and in love with him? And you know, not really that bad, or is she actually bad? And I think that the answer is, to me, just that there's more to it than that. You know what I mean? She's got a soft spot in her heart for family, her love interest, maybe a friend or two. But other than that, screw everybody else. No. She believes in what Lex is doing, and she is fully on board with him.
Would you ever buy her manipulating Lex because she knows she needed the cure to help her family?
No, I don't think she's that smart.
No.
Thought I'd throw it out there. See if it sticks.
She's smart, but I don't think she's that smart.
I don't think she's outsmart Lex Luthor smart.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be way too, not weird, but.
She's definitely outsmart Kara smart, but not Lex. Lena's the only one that has any chance of outsmarting Lex. So it's good that she's working so closely with Supergirl and is trusting her and letting bygones be bygones. But speaking of Eve being smart, I mean, she's got her own secret lab. She has been working on some other stuff. We finally get some answers as to how this particular Graves twin, Tweedledum, got brought back to life. And it is because of Eve, and she's using a Metallo heart. So we get a little like mini Metallo fight. That poses a problem.
The Metallo fight was the worst fucking CGI I've seen on this show in forever.
Really?
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, it seemed kind of weird.
I need to start watching these on like an actual TV again. Because I was watching on my laptop and it didn't seem that bad.
Because Nicole and Steve had watched it before I did. And Steve was texting me.
Of course, so he was texting spoilers, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, he just, I shot it down right away. And then I went back and talked to him about it. And the way it looked like on my TV was I had just purchased Bumblebee on, you know, digital. And they had the extras and those extra scenes that they don't finish. It's just like kind of cheesy animation over the top to show where the characters would have been.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, boy.
And it just the way it walked and everything was very stop motion-y. And I
agree with that. That I could see for sure.
I was just shocked that it was just that bad, you know, to where they try to use this robot man person. But no skin walking, and I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Because I hate that. Anytime it distracts me from the story going on, I was like, hurry up and fucking kill it. It's stupid looking.
Yeah.
I think my reaction was literally, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, the movement was definitely super off. The rest of it, I couldn't notice anything too bad, but I was also watching on a way smaller screen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That does play a lot into it too, you know. So maybe I can actually watch these on a TV again. Maybe. We'll see.
Soon.
Oh, undoubtedly after the break. Yay, I'll be actually moved into my apartment. So
woo. There's a break.
Yeah, which god damn it.
The fifth one.
Have we even talked about that?
No, not yet.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, because the 21st is our next episode, so that's 18 days from today.
That's 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks off.
By the time this season ends, it'll be ready for the next season to start. With how many breaks there are.
I hate to complain about it, but it's just like anytime you get any momentum on your side, you take a break, and then you lose it all. So you have all this Lex buzz.
They're hurting themselves.
You just unleash Red's daughter on the world. And now it's, hey, we'll see you after Easter. You know, like, cool. The 21st.
Well, like, on Easter. That is Easter Sunday.
It is?
Yeah.
Mm. Welcome back to Easter Sunday and wonder why we don't get any ratings.
How can you expect them to do okay with ratings when they're doing this?
And I feel like I preach this on all the shows. You either shorten the season because I understand that actors need breaks. And that's where most of these come in because so they don't have to film back to back to back to back and, you know, let them get out and get away from Vancouver. But
unless they're being forced to do this because the showrunners are freaking out because of the ratings. And they're like, we need to redo some shit.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's like that because they knew when the season was ending.
Yeah.
You know, we have those ending dates. And so they're bumping up against those 23 episodes. And the way CW is working these days is they do definitely have different schedules. That once these things end, I think iZombie and a couple of the other shows start coming back that are basically their summer shows.
Yeah.
And so why not just 52 weeks? Cool. You know, here and here, and then we have breaks somewhere along the way. Not 3 weeks here, 2 weeks here, a week here, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Election Day, the president's given a speech, Oscars. I mean, I could sit here and over the four shows just list how many breaks we've had. And it just loses momentum for me.
Yeah, I agree.
For everyone, honestly, it's rough. How do you expect the ratings to stay up when that's what you're doing?
Well, and think about it. Like, Legends came back this week, and I don't even fucking remember what happened.
It took me a minute.
Right? It's I don't know. It's just difficult. It's difficult to do in this day of binge watching and like the DC Universe releasing 10 episodes, one a week, every week, all 10 are in the can. You know, there's so many other better ways of doing it than all these, you know, a 40 week season, technically.
Yeah.
All right, ran over.
Yeah, I don't know.
They gotta be smart.
It's all rough. And I hate it.
And I don't remember the other seasons being this bad.
No, it's ever since they moved to Sunday.
And, you know, it's like, oh.
No, we complained about the one big break that was like 6 weeks last season because of the showrunner nonsense.
Yeah, they went on hiatus for a reason because
that's a reason.
The Kreisberg effect. Yeah. You know?
And that's one break. You know what I mean? Like, if you were going to do this crap, do it once.
Yeah.
Just do it once. Just rope them all up together. Do another little chunk and come back and whatever. Fine. But when you're like, wait, isn't Supergirl on this week? Or like, oh shit, Supergirl was back on?
Oh, fuck. Like, Mike put me on the schedule. What's on this week?
I just don't. It's frustrating. I don't blame people for not keeping up with it. At this point, if I didn't record, if I didn't come in here to this studio and sit down with you guys and discuss every episode that airs the week that it airs, I'd
be behind.
Yeah, I would say, screw it.
I'm going to wait.
I'll wait until it's on Netflix and I'll watch it all the way through. That is 100% what my mentality would be. I would say, you know what, this is too much to keep up with. I feel like I'm going to miss something here and there, or I never know when to check if it's on, and it's too much of a hassle. I'm going to wait until it's on Netflix, because I know 2 weeks after the finale it'll be on Netflix. I'll binge it over the summer.
Yep, and that's probably why your ratings are so low.
Honestly.
Just saying.
That's a good portion of why. Ugh, anyway, all right. All right, so let's talk about Jean. God, was this refreshing, though. So this whole story, this whole little mini situation with Jean was kind of nice. It was his own little self-contained story. It was relevant to what was going on in its own way, you know what I mean? It is getting him out of this weird rut that he's been in. Am I a peaceful man if I'm, you know, supposed to follow my dad's footsteps? Can I ever, like, go into battle with my friends to help save the world? Or do I have to sit back and watch them get hurt? I loved the way it was handled, the way he, like, kind of summoned his dad and whatever. And I was really surprised when it turned out that his dad was knocking on the door. And I was like, oh, man.
We thought it was a dream or like some kind of
shapeshifter or something. Yeah. Like, who the fuck is that?
I'm like, how the fuck? Nah, that's not really him.
I thought it was like a some sort of apparition that was like, I don't know, like it was like the weapon, you know what I mean? Or something, or it was like a spirit within it or something like that. I knew it wasn't actually his dad, but it was like nice to see that little reunion still. I just figured it would end up being kind of malicious, like a malicious spirit within that weapon, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I I like the way it all played out. I liked that he's just like, he's confident in who he is now, and he's back to being the Martian Manhunter, and he can be his own kind of peaceful. He doesn't have to be a complete pacifist. He can be a like warrior who fights for peace. That's his own kind of version of that, because he's not entirely peaceful, and he is a killer, you know, and he has done violent things in the sake of goodness, for the sake of goodness. Yeah. So now I'm very concerned that he is going away on this long and hard journey, as that spirit papa said.
I was like, oh, there's a write-off.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. But it also seemed like there was something there, sort of. Because they were talking about it, and he was like, that's a long and hard journey. And are you sure you want to do that? You know, if you succeed, they will remain dormant there until someone, if someone ever comes to claim them, that's worthy. And Jean's reaction was, well, maybe someone will. And his eyes kind of narrowed as if he was thinking to the future and thinking of, you know, maybe someone will be worthy, or what if I have a successor, or you know what I mean? So that kind of feels like maybe there might be something there, not anytime soon, but who knows? I gotta say though, It was like sad and a little frustrating watching him stutter through all of his like, I tried to do this and I tried to do that and I don't know what to do, because he managed to get himself very worked up and kind of shaken for that scene. He did such a good job.
I agree. He did really awesome. I really liked just how he handled that entire scene. I even like the way that his dad was acting. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is weird that it came to me, but it was almost like a Rafiki and Simba-esque interaction.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting over
it's
here
the
like...
accent.
No. It was, he was like being mischievous a little bit, and
he
like,
was being a jerk.
Yeah, he was being a brat
to
him.
Out of him.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, this
what are you
is like
doing
some
back
fucking
there,
Lion
bud?
King shit over there.
Nothing.
No, no. Just whacking your mic.
Your Lion King reference is fucking amazing.
I don't know why that came
it,
to
it
me.
It totally makes sense.
I was waiting for him to take the fucking weapon and just whack him in the head.
Hit him in the head with it.
Like, wake the fuck up.
That's pretty on point too. Like, that's, I didn't think about that, but that's good.
He's just sitting there drinking his coffee and not caring, and you'll figure it out eventually, right?
You're gonna fucking figure it out. Also, I'm gonna take this away from you because clearly you don't need it.
Yeah, man. That was all so good. They both did such a great job during all of that, and it was, even though it wasn't directly tied into the rest of the story of the episode, I never felt like I was being pulled away from something bigger. I never felt like I was being, you know, distracted with fluff. It didn't feel unnecessary. I was excited to go back into those scenes because I was excited to see where they were at now. And that's the right way to handle a secondary storyline in an episode, I think. You know, if you can make people go, oh shit, Supergirl just got framed, or like, you know what I mean? Or like, oh no, they're attacking the White House. And then we go cut away to Martian Manhunter, who's having hallucinations of his dad, and it's a much calmer environment in comparison. and I'm still like, oh yeah, let's watch this now. Let's see where this has gone. That means it was successful. And it was a fun scene, it was a fun moment. It was a little bit heart-wrenching. Like, it was a little heartbreaking when Kara's at home and she's just, like, she doesn't have anyone to talk to about this stuff right now. James is busy covering all of this stuff for, like, after she gets framed. James is busy covering all this stuff for Catco. He's got his hands totally full. You know, Alex doesn't know who she is as Supergirl. Neither does Lena. She can't get a hold of Jean. You know, Wynn's not around anymore. Brainy, I'm sure, is busy with stuff, too. Working at the DEO, and even still, that's not her first choice.
And Nia is busy trying to dream up wherever the hell Lex is.
And honestly, Nia dreaming or whatever aside, that's not her first choice for a confidant.
Nope.
She wants her best friends, you know, Lena and James, and she wants her sister. And none of them were available to her. Especially because not only is James busy with work, but he's also finally recognizing that he has, like, he's been traumatized by what happened to him. Because, hey, God forbid you let yourself actually admit to yourself that being shot in the spine and almost dying and having, you know, going into surgery and all this stuff like that. Yeah, God forbid you let yourself believe that being shot is not traumatic or that it is traumatic.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's just but normal.
Like, yeah, man, like, oh, I've been through stuff. Yeah, but like this was really serious and you almost died. And if you survived, you were going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. So it's okay. It's okay to be traumatized. But it was so sad watching Kara make that phone call to Jean. And he's leaving and he doesn't get her phone call and she needs someone. So I'm glad that it was followed up almost immediately with Lena and Alex backing her up and being like, no, man, we got you. We're going to help you. We're going to help you figure this out and find out what Lex is doing because we know he's behind this. But let's jump back into James for a second. So we get confirmation this week that, the cure that Haranel cure and everything is actually kind of a superhuman serum thing because not only does Lex have superpowers, but so does that aunt and inevitably James. So, we'll see what happens with him and how that develops with him. But
I almost wonder if his little, like, episodes are his powers.
I think, well, I don't think that they are his powers per se. I think they are exacerbated by his powers.
Because it reminds me of, like, Smallville and even Man of Steel when first learning about the powers. And, mm-hmm. like, loud noises and everything were just throwing, you know, Clark off in
both
cases.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you. I think that that's like his little PTSD triggers a kind of the attacks trigger some sort of powers or something and it exacerbates everything. And he goes into this like state of like, oh, my God, what the hell is happening? And everything just gets like too much for him. I think it's one part, you know, mental PTSD attack that's triggered by something and one part powers that he doesn't know he has and that he doesn't know what they are and he doesn't understand them kind of going haywire at the same time. You know, I feel like that's the best description of or like the best like possible
maybe
explanation.
But the PTSD attacks are only brought on by specifically gunshots. Like if it was more than that, like any powers, like he probably would have had an effect when Red Daughter came up in there and was blasting shit.
He did.
Like more than that, but he was still like reacting to the gunshots at that time.
Right. Well, I don't think it's entirely hinging on. I don't think his powers are hinging on the PTSD attacks. I think. Obviously the PTSD is triggered by gunshots, because that is the trigger for him.
You think like an elevated heart rate, anxiety?
I think the effect of the PTSD trigger is then causing like kind of an outburst of power that he doesn't understand, and it's totally screwing with him. And I'm sure his powers are kind of mentally suppressed right now, because his mental state, his brain is trying to just push down, just smash it all down, just keep everything okay, keep your head above water, and everything will be at least moderately fine, and you can get through. You know, the brain tries to suppress a lot of stuff for us.
And he hasn't had the hot pan moment.
No, he hasn't.
It's like, oh shit, that shit burned.
He hasn't had that outburst yet.
Oh, right, I forgot about that last season.
So it's, he hasn't had that yet. So I don't think his powers are tied to that necessarily. I think that the mental state that he's in, some of the superpowers are starting to kind of, I don't know, creep through a little bit when he starts having those PTSD attacks, because he's very overwhelmed in that moment. And then the powers are kind of exacerbating all of that, and they're kind of pulling him into this like complete state of panic and confusion and fear and trauma and all of that. And it's just kind of this I don't know, this self-fulfilling sort of circle, you know, one thing just keeps feeding into the other. And I think if you asked him, he probably wouldn't know or say that he has powers. I think that it's just some powers kind of seeping through, making it worse. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's all PTSD. You never know. But it seems like there's some sort of extra factor there that's making it even worse than it already would be. And I'm sure it already would be pretty terrible going into that panic state to begin with. So I don't know. I think if he has powers, they're undoubtedly suppressed right now based on his mental state. And I think he may have one of those outburst moments. And that kind of, you know, begs the question too, is with this cure, are all the powers identical? You know, does it vary a little bit? Does it vary a lot depending on the person? It seems like strength is obviously one of the things, you know, and I don't know, you know, maybe most people get strength. Most people get this and that and whatever. And then there's some slight variances here and there. Maybe there are some mental things. Maybe there aren't. We don't have any of those answers yet. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any difference in what James's powers manifest as.
If they manifest.
If they manifest.
I hope they do.
And we don't even have confirmation of that. You know what I mean? But I hope they do too. I think of anyone, James is with how he has grown. I think he is now, you know, one of the most deserving people to have superpowers, because he's definitely grown and gotten out of his stuck ways with some viewpoints and stuff. So, yeah, it was a lot this episode.
It was a lot. I think Steve even commented on that. Like, Jesus Christ, why is there so much shit happening?
I don't feel overwhelmed, though. Like, looking back at the episode, I don't feel like there was so much that, you know, I can't breathe, unlike some other episodes that we've had.
Yeah. Well, I think it was because it was focused on three main stories.
And it was cohesive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 The stories aligned in particular ways. James's story completely aligned with Supergirl's in that, you know, when she went to go tell him about Eve, it then transferred into, okay, these two stories merged and now James is helping us. And then the other one was just dynamic enough to be.
Well, and I think it was the effect of nerfing of Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what I always look at when it comes to it. It's like, all right, well, what are they doing this for? Well, that man's way too powerful to be dealing with anti-aliens and mm-hmm. being able to mind control people and everything else. So let's send him away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would probably level the playing field a little bit too much for Kara to struggle. And I'm sure he'll come back before the struggle is over. But for right now, I think.
He'll come back with Mono.
Oh, don't even say that.
Well, they only said that one of them, that Jeremy wasn't coming back. They didn't say anything about Mono.
Oh. That's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Unless it's like, honey, I'm home in the final episode. And she's like, oh, shit, I love you so much. And he's like, I love you too, baby cakes. And then they kiss.
The end.
Should I write movies and stories for TV?
Yeah, or like middle school kids.
Perfect. My
I mean,
audience.
It pays either way. Who gives a shit, right?
Hey, that's true.
Happily ever after. All right. And bye.
So, overall, how did you guys feel about this episode? And how do you feel going into a break now?
So, the episode was pretty good. I enjoyed it overall. But the break thing.
The break thing, I don't enjoy at all.
Nope. The only thing that's nice about it is the fact that I am currently freaking out about an aerial competition. So at least I can focus on that. But that is literally the only saving grace for me. Otherwise, what the fuck? That's where I'm at.
For me, it was cool to see the plan, but I wanted Lex again. You know, seeing the plan play out. But I was like, I was really pining for Lex. Because those last two episodes were so good. Like, there was nothing wrong with this episode when I think about it, but it wasn't the last two.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And then it's like going to the break and using, you know, Red Daughter the way they did. I was just like, okay, cool. That's cool. All right. Now what? And then we have a break. And I hope they refocus on that storyline and that they don't come back from a break and like divert to something else for the comeback episode.
They better not like go focus on Children of Liberty and what they're going to go do now. Please just make it come back to Lex.
Yeah. Overall, I enjoyed the episode. I thought there was a lot of strong things in it. I appreciate the way it progressed the story and everything like that. It definitely wasn't quite at the level of the last two, but I still loved it. It was fine. I'm almost like furious that we're going into a break. It works out for me on a personal life level because Star Wars Celebration is coming up and I'm going to be gone and I've got like another thing that I'm going to do. So,
you're like, yay, break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've still got Legends, though, but at least I'm not recording for as long. So, like, cool. On a personal life level, that's a little bit nice for me. I get a little bit more of a break.
Same.
But for the show, I'm pissed. Like, why are you doing that to us?
Can you not?
Yeah. What? Why? Why? Just why? Why are you doing this to yourselves? Because this is stupid. We can't keep having 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off every couple of episodes. That's a load of crap. And no wonder no one's keeping up with the damn show. So, yeah, hopefully we just cruise right on through to the last episodes when we're back from this break.
Yes, 100%. Cool. I looked at the schedule. There is no more breaks after we come back.
I think damn sure hope not, because that would be obscene.
Yeah. I did look at that. I was like, because I looked at that at Legends too. All the shows when they come back will run nonstop until
okey-dokey.
May.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess we'll see you guys in a few weeks. Okay. The end. Yeah, I'm really good at endings. But yeah, that's gonna do it for us today.
I was just gonna end it.
Okay. The end. Peace.
People want cuddles.